practically anything under the sun. Maybe more specifically things that you heard, but it doesn't have to be on topic. I'm used to being off topic, and it's just anything that you'd like to just to have some discussion about on advancing in spiritual life. How did you get the microphone so fast? Sundar, you got a quota of one question. It's a rasa. Go ahead.
So, this is regarding getting rid of bad qualities or the bad habits we have.
Ah.
So I find that I have to constantly put effort in not getting into any bad habits. So even if I lax a little bit, it is very really, I mean, I find that they seep through in very quickly. So, especially given that sometimes the work is stressful or something, so I don't get enough time to hear and things like that.
So you don't get enough time to
hear?
Because you're too busy getting rid of bad qualities? Is that what you're saying?
So, I mean, is it getting rid of the bad qualities or another thing very stressful or is very energy-consuming? How to work on at the same time not feeling too much pressure?
Very simple. Would you like it to be simple or like it to be complicated? He likes it. But it's really simple. Thank you. Who knows to give the microphone back? You're going to want to ask another one after. So, what comes before anarjana vritti? Bhajana kriya. When you're pulling a cart, what comes first? The horse before the cart, right? And if you have a good horse, he pulls the cart. So have very strong bhajana kriya, and the cart will follow. That's too simple. But that's how it works. If you want to increase or amplify or strengthen the process of anarjana vritti, then strengthen bhajana kriya. Just like we read yesterday evening in the purport of Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 41, Prabhupada was emphasizing the imperative necessity, the perfection of life is having no more material conceptions, only spiritual conceptions. And the process is devotional service. So stay with the process of devotional service and you can eradicate the material conceptions. But if you just make it your business to try to eradicate material conceptions, and it's like the other example I gave, you're stuck in the mud and you just keep pressing the accelerator pedal. You get more stuck in the mud. And mud goes flying. And you don't go anywhere, you just spin your wheels. Burn out your transmission. Run out of gas. Put emphasis on the Vajana Kriya portion and the Sadhu Sangha portion. It doesn't mean no effort is applied to remove, but the capacity, the intelligence, the empowerment to do so comes from the other. Okay. Way in the back. Way in the back. Then Ruchira. Way in the back first. Yeah.
Hi Krishna.
Hi Bob.
This is a question of you talked about instructions being taken as being accepted as life and soul. So this is a two-part question. First part is how do we do that without self-abandonment?
How do we do this? Oh, it's just it's easy. It's self-discovery. The nature of the self is what? And you connect with that, and it's self-discovery. It's letting go of what we're not and accepting what we are. You heard the class last night?
Yeah.
Exactly on that point. Somewhere inside is this voice that's really us. That's self-discovery. And what's that voice say? I want a relationship with Krishna. And the instruction is to connect with that voice, that real self. It's the opposite of self-abandonment. It's self-discovery. Simultaneous with God realization is self-realization.
So the general instructions make sense to me, but when we talk about specific instructions, say for relevant for my own case, because you also emphasize at times finding your own voice, finding your own voice.
Sure. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean speculation. It means introspection. What's in there? What gifts has Krishna given me? That's very personal. And it's like between me and Krishna, and that's my voice. It's simple. There's something with that consistently. It's like, you know, excuse me for embarrassing Mukunda, but kirtan and mridanga. You know, there's Govinda, or there's Mukunda. And, you know, that's not self-abandonment. It's life. He can do other things too. And that's not self-abandonment, because other things are also important. He goes to school. It's not mridanga playing in kirtan, but it's part of his responsibility in life. But there's something that's very unique to him. And it gives him strength. That's finding your voice. That's self-discovery also.
May I elaborate?
Yeah, sure.
So, I've had experiences where, say, I try to follow certain instructions, let's say, cultivating loving relationships, for example. So that's a general instruction, but it was also, I also took it as specific. But while trying to, say, apply that instruction, I found myself getting lost, you know, like I was abandoning myself in the process.
Well, it depends on how you went about doing it. It's not necessarily the instruction was a self-abandonment instruction. Mm-hmm. Or one that resulted in. It may have resulted in, but the instruction per se is not that at all.
But I realized that I said yes to that instruction from a host of, you know, unwholesome voices from the middle.
Okay, fine.
Seems like there are some prerequisites.
So what somebody may have to go through some of that to get to their, to that deeper voice. Mm-hmm. And you could say, okay, I'll take no instruction. I'll just kind of like bump around in the darkness until I bump into some light. You know, but through the instruction itself, there's also purification. Within the instruction is the means to fulfill the instruction. Everything, intelligence, strength, everything is there. if one has that implicit faith, there can be another way that an instruction is accepted, where it's not coming from a place of implicit faith. I can say yes, do it for a while, and then run into a wall and say, oh, it was the wrong, I made a mistake accepting the instruction. And there's so many other things that can happen. I could say yes and then not do it. Or say yes and think I'm doing it and I'm not really doing it because it hasn't been accepted. In fact. But in name, yes. And there's so many other things that are in the category of self-abandonment.
So, Guru, my final point is, because of, say, bad experiences in the past, so when I hear lectures like what you did yesterday, instructions like you take as life and so, I feel now very nervous and anxious to go forward.
You look behind that. What's behind that? Anxiousness. Because it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You know, when I get around Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I start getting nervous. What's that? Because that's what he says. And Prabhupada repeated it, and my Guru Maharaj repeated it, and now I'm getting nervous and anxious. I mean, I think the rest of the discussion is something we can discuss when we're together in a private dialogue, but that's what to do. Ruchira?
My question is, what to do when you see, you can feel that you're losing taste? I mean, you can see, and I can see it happening. I can see I'm going 100 miles per hour, crash into a wall, I can see that's happening. So how do I revive the taste?
I'm not sure I haven't fully grasped what your question is, because I didn't hear all the words. Say it again.
I can feel that I'm losing the taste.
Losing taste?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my question is how to go about reviving that taste and getting back.
Well, there's many possibilities of why we lose taste, and a common one, especially in the beginning, is due to offenses. Before we chant, we haven't made any offenses because we haven't been chanting. We're not making offenses against chanting because we're not chanting. And then we start chanting. And this incredible surge of purification and upliftment and joy that we was unfound before in our life, it rises and it's wonderful. And then we continue chanting. And as we continue chanting, we make offenses. And when we make offenses, we get reactions for those offenses, or the reactions in the form of anarthas. That's compared by our acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur particularly. They're compared to clouds or mist. So when there's clouds or mist, then the sun cannot penetrate. We don't feel the warmth. We don't see the light. Things are very, foggy and cloudy and not clear. And those anarthas cover the heart, that joy. And then there's no taste that was there for some time. And so it's commonly that slipping away of taste has to do with offenses of one kind or another, combination. So what do you do? Which is what your question is. Well, recognize what the source is and go to the source. And there's 10 categories of offenses against the holy name. So you can look and have I 1, 2, 3, 4. And when you find one that you start to feel uncomfortable with, take a close look at it, because there's a chance that's where the offense or one of the categories of offenses lies. Or ask those who are guiding you, you know, how should, you know, which of these things do you think I need to improve on? So just say, I'll just say two things quickly. One is, of the offenses, there's something that's common to all of them. And that something that's common to all of them is seeing that which is spiritual in terms of things that are measured with material standard. The devotees, the scriptures, the instructions of the spiritual master, the glories of the holy name, and so forth and so on. Seeing them as if ordinary when they're not. That's an offense. Second, categorically, is inattention. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that's the root of the other offenses. But part of the root of that offense is seeing Krishna different than his holy name, or not seeing Krishna and his holy name as the same. So if Krishna is just like an activity, chanting Krishna's name is just a material thing so we feel better, then I don't really have to worry about being attentive. Except when I'm not feeling better, and I want to feel better, then I'll be a little more attentive. But otherwise, it's just mercenary or utilitarian. But if I understand that Krishna and his name are not different, just by calling Krishna's name, he comes. There's nobody like that. If I just, you know, Ruchira, and just immediately they're there. And every time. Ruchira, immediately you're there. Immediately. Wow. We can't do that. I mean, we don't, it's not within our capacity to do that. But Krishna does that. He's so kind. He and his name are absolute. Just, there's no even delay. Just Krishna. One devotee, I was planning to share this. I don't know if I should send it around yet or not. There's a devotee, an American gentleman my age, who has been around devotees since, you know, forever, like 40 years, and kind of practicing less, practicing more, practicing less. Now he's practicing very substantially, very seriously. So he wrote a little note saying, Maharaj, I know that you get all kinds of, you know, people presenting their problems to you. So here I'm not writing about a problem, I just want to share something very wonderful. And just this morning, in my little temple room in my home, I was chanting and I had this overwhelming, exhilarating feeling while chanting that was Krishna's present. Krishna is present on my tongue, Krishna is present in my ear, Krishna is present in my heart, Krishna is present in the room. It was thrilling. I don't have to go anywhere and find Krishna, I just have to chant Krishna's name. And for all these years I've been searching, And I just have to chant attentively. And this isn't an initiated devotee. He isn't like, you know, a superstar or something. He's one of the Prabhus. So it's our simplicity of heart to approach Krishna in that way, and wherever we are, if that attentiveness and hearing is what's happening while we're chanting, there's taste. It's a thrilling taste, exhilarating taste. But those may be moments, and then there's other moments that, because of our strong conditioning, we're chanting and it's just mechanical. You heard me give this example of Badahari is saying, like a desert. And there's a very advanced devotee, someone who could say, so what about me? I'm, you know, this little Ruchira, and here's this very advanced devotee saying, dry. That's not always the case. It's part of, we may have to pass through some spells like that, that Krishna wants to see. How much do we want him? Or how much instead do we want, like, an experience, instead of, we want a relationship with him under any condition. Ask yourself that question. What do you really want? What's the goal? What's my deepest, what's that deep inside desire? What do I want? And chant from that place. Try. Someone else? Ashray? Behind you? Oh.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question regarding one of the offenses. Instructing a religious person with the holy name.
Which person?
Instructing a faithless person.
Instructing a faithless person.
Okay.
What does it exactly mean, Maharaj?
Some people believe in the name of Krishna and the holy name, and who usually have some faith in God consciousness.
Okay, 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 fine. Okay. Take the microphone from her. I'll keep it simple. What's okay is you say, like we say on our invitation cards, we call them mantra cards in the old days, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Chant and your life will be sublime. Remember the discussion yesterday about marketing? Chant and it'll free you from miseries of material existence. That's not the offense. The offense is when deeper mysteries of the holy name are disclosed before people that have Zippo qualification to understand ABC, and now you're teaching them Shakespeare. So ABC is fine. And the intimate things about the holy name, Radha and Krishna and so forth and so on, you don't go there with those people. That would be offensive. Chant and be happy. Behind you.
Krishna, at least one thing that I've gotten from my application from your discussions is the importance of giving up our false conceptions of ourselves. One thing that I have found that has helped me with that in a particular situation in my life is being removed from the circumstance, because the mind kind of gets into patterns of just doing things and then we can see from outside.
Yeah.
And more easily understand what I'm doing wrong.
Right. So become a sannyasi. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your question. Go ahead.
One thought that I have is that
your wife just disappeared. She's a nice wife.
One thought that I had was that going to the altars, you know, those kinds of things is a nice opportunity to do that. Do you have any other thoughts, though, just while we're remaining in our circumstances, how we can remove ourselves?
Yeah. The message for the whole weekend has been hearing. Because by hearing, it can transport you. If you hear in a qualitative way, it can transport you beyond your circumstances. And that is to say, well, say it one way, the circumstances don't constrict and control you like they do when one is thinking, I want to enjoy. If you're thinking, I'm feeling filled with joy, they shrink. It's mystical. It's a mystic power. They just like, not like you get big, they get small because you're feeling full. And clarity of, you know, seeing through the eyes of Scripture, seeing what Krishna sees the way that Krishna sees it. Not that you become Krishna, but you get spiritual eyes to see. And the allure of the glitzy, you know, sparkly, bubbly material energy becomes transparently something else. And I then become, you know, very cautious about handling it. I may have to deal with it, but it's not. It's the energy, it's protection through hearing. It's distancing oneself from that circumstance by the process of hearing. Because the same thing happens when, let's like, you know, going on yatra. If one is in a mood of being a tourist, it's just another, you know, I like, I don't like. It's just in a different scene. We don't like the dirt, we don't like the heat, we don't like the cold, we don't like the smells. We like this, we like that. It's all about, you know, what I like and what I don't like. And I come back with those impressions. It's hearing. Now, it is helpful to, as you said, disconnect from the circumstance. But it really comes through hearing, in any case. Otherwise, you know, we would find people that are just like hobos or people that just have no home and just travel from place to place, a vagabond, they would be self-realized. That's not the case. Oh, I'm sorry. We took the phone away from Vivek. I didn't know that you had your hand up before.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is on a humble basis.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the honor. Maharaj, this is a very personal situation. I'm going to try to water it down very quickly. But the question that I have is, what should I do? The topic is retaliation. And the situation is, I've written to you once before about my uncle who's been trying to, quote unquote, you know, kill my father for the last 7 years. And it's in direct relation to this question, is when the reason that I'm bringing this up is yesterday you said when you're reading the Gita, pretend like it's a person who's reading it towards you, or to, like, you know, Krishna is talking to you, or Prabhupada is talking to you. And then when you chant, sort of, there's two questions that I ask almost every morning, and I've been asking this for like 7 years now. And the question comes, after I chant, the answer comes, don't retaliate, because I'll take care of it. After I read the Gita, in my mind, when I'm reading the Gita, I'm seeing that, well, am I just being a wuss by not retaliating?
Very much. I mean, I don't... I'm not aware of the context. At least it's not... Maybe you've said it, it's just not like... It's not coming up on the screen right now, so... But I don't need the context right now. I'll just speak more in general terms that will benefit others. First thing. This is now we're repeating something that came from our yantra. First thing. Check in with yourself. Like, ground reality. Who am I? So, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. I'm a spirit soul, meant my existence is to serve Krishna, please Krishna. Now, having checked in with ground reality, spiritual conception. I'm moving along the path of life, and on the path of life comes this obstacle. I'm Krishna's servant. It's not, you know, my pleasure. It's Krishna's pleasure. Is Krishna trying to teach me something? Is Krishna trying to help me become strong? Is Krishna trying to help me depend on him more? Is Krishna wanting me to serve him in a particular way? What's the message in service to Krishna that I'm supposed to be receiving? And then you start, you know, using intelligence, you analyze the situation, depending upon instructions that you've heard, depending upon super soul, depending upon advice from those who are close to you. Those are three different things. Instructions, super soul, and advice that you're receiving from persons that are close to you. That all three together, combinedly, will help you understand what's the best way to serve Krishna in the circumstance. It's a conflict circumstance, the detail of which can be so many things. So what not to do is... Or, you know, first is just go center yourself. Spiritually, it's a nice path to move on. You're going along the path of life, something arises. There may be some opportunity, maybe some challenge, maybe some, whatever that something is. Like reflex, center yourself. Who am I? What's my real identity? What's that real me? I'm Krishna's servant. Okay. Now I can look out at the world again and see, in this case, you know, it's a challenge, an obstacle, something, a difficult circumstance. Then you start raising those questions and you consult those different resources, super soul, instructions that you've heard, examples of lives of great devotees, those that know you well, you are guiding and help, and you trust their guidance, and take those various resources and continue to focus on what's the best way to serve Krishna. To learn something, to become very determined. And there's, you know, so many options, and you select from what the indication that is coming your way as best you can. Service mood. Serving Krishna. Krishna's interest is at the center. How can I best serve Krishna? Sometimes, not so many things happen, but sometimes just poof. Something that I found often happens is resources that they weren't out there. All of a sudden they start to come. Krishna is providing the solution because you're depending on Krishna. And it's really wonderful. Not only the thing is being dealt with, but that this is reciprocation with Krishna. It's just amazing. It's thrilling. But supposing it doesn't happen, suppose just it stays there. Then that's a good opportunity to look like inside. Something that repeats itself again and again and again, that's a very good sign. I need to look inside and see what's going on inside. Because if it keeps coming again and again, it's probably, almost for certain, it's something deep inside me that's unresolved, and I need to address that. Otherwise, it's going to keep coming and keep coming. And it's not out there. It's over here. And if I start in that way introspecting, taking clarity from the process of sadhana, it's back to this question that Sundar was asking of, impurities that keep popping up. Go to the sadhana or the bhajana kriya activity. Do the scrubbing. And then it becomes, the last week had a discussion exactly on this point with another devotee. It was not in the room, but exactly that. Something that's like it keeps coming and it keeps coming. Exactly was the advice that I gave them is what I'm giving you. And I told them, I gave examples in my own life of late. I've done the same thing. Something is just not getting resolved. So let me make this place, extra effort to make this place very pure. And what happens is clarity, from that effort, it's not something out there that's the problem, it's something over here that's the problem, and it becomes very clear what the something over here is and how to address it. There's something over here. And then magically there's something over there. There's clarity what to do, how to address it. In service. Or restating it as Prabhupada said it so simply and succinctly, again from this 241 Bhagavad Gita, where the conception of life is so far beyond the material conception that there's no question of acting in sense gratification. It's like, it's gone. So if that's gone, what's left? There's only one thing that's left. It's our relationship of service to Krishna. Then there's clarity. Even in troubling circumstances, there's clarity. We don't budge from that position. Someone else? Right next to you, right in front of you. Parvarupa, then.
Hare Krishna, this is actually coming from two verses of Bhagavad Gita that I have been trying to understand, but I want to get more clarity on that. So, one verse is this Chintamani Prabhana Sattvasa Tattva Krishna, and it is talked about. Hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis are serving Krishna. And in the last verse that Shri Akantanakta there, the abode is called Shvetadvi. So I am not clear whether the description is of the Goloka Vrindavan,
yes,
or of Vaikuntha.
But Goloka. Because it's in the purports, I'm not sure which of the purports, but one of Bhakti Siddhanta's purports in Brahma Samhita. The term Svetadvip has different applications. One of them is also Goloka Vrindavan, Because of its purity, it's called Svetadvipa. The term Svetadvipa applies to other things also. Okay?
And about the first one, where the thousands of, hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis, so Lakshmis are actually gopis, is that what the connotation is?
The last part you said, real fast, I couldn't catch what you said. You say it again? There's hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune, and?
They're serving Krishna, but like my understanding was that when we talk about goddesses of fortune, they reside in the Vaikuntha planet.
Again, they're expansions of Srimati Radharani, who are gopis, who are also goddesses of fortune, a term that applies in different contexts, but they're equally appropriate.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, my question is related to fear. Maharaj, how to overcome the fear of losing the relationships?
How to overcome the fear of losing the relationship? Well, I've got an absolute answer. Reestablish your relationship with Krishna. Because that's what's causing the fear. Maybe that's too hard. But if you want to overcome fear, that's especially that one, there's the answer. Okay? Huh? Okay, you can run around. Oh, he's taking it literally, his life is so. How do you all?
Maharaj, I have a question regarding Bhajanakriya and Anantanivriti that you spoke about earlier. We have experienced that when we really immerse ourselves in devotional service in Bhajanakriya, that sometimes the Anantanivriti is very intense.
Yes.
And yet on the other side, when it's really intense, at least I get my weakness in the heart and say, why is the purification so intense? Krishna, I cannot take it anymore.
Well, it depends on what, how you like it. I like intensity. It's very nice. So if it becomes something, you know, I can't take it because you really didn't want the anartha nivritti. Means, you know, we want a happy feeling, but holding on to the things that are actually sources of misery. And when they're taken away, we don't want them to go away, although they're sources of misery, because we look at them as happiness. Well, but when something is taken, something that's like, you know, a disease that's taken away, that's nice. It's something like this. I look at it something like this. It's like a loving relationship. When there's a loving relationship, what does it matter what austerities there are? It's just part of a loving relationship. It's just, it's wonderful. You know, for being around babies for a sannyasi, obviously, it's like, but for mothers, they love it. And to me, it's like, what an austerity. And it doesn't stop. It's not like, you know, you get a break. It's 24/7. But But mothers love it because of their love for the child. So when there's a genuine love for what's on the other side of anartha nivritti, it's an unobstructed relationship with Krishna. So if something's going to take away those obstructions, great. And whether it's fast or slow, that obstructions in my relationship with Krishna are being taken, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So it depends on what's important to you, whether you see it as, you know, I can't take it or not. Yes, yes. And one of the discussions during this weekend was the difference between acting from the heart and acting from the mind. When we're acting from the heart, there's also accepting, rejecting, but we accept that which is pleasing to Krishna, favorable for Krishna's service. We accept that. The factor isn't how comfortable I feel or I don't feel. That's the mind. Now that which pinches the mind, we go, ouch. It hurts, I don't want that pinch. But if we're thinking in a loving way towards Krishna's happiness, if I undergo some inconvenience and Krishna's happiness is achieved, that's wonderful. Because Krishna's happiness is achieved. Whatever it takes for Krishna's happiness to be achieved. So yes, it's the mind. I recommend that you read the Avanti Brahman story from Canto 11, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, where Uddhava is asking, what's the root cause of suffering and misery? And it's a whole chapter giving an answer, and the answer is, it's the mind. It's not the circumstance, it's the mind. It's not karma, it's not stars, it's not providence, it's not so many other things. And he considers each one of them and then rules them out and concludes it's the mind. The Avanti Brahman. Then he becomes happy. Because he detaches himself from the mind and takes another position. You can't just detach yourself from mind and be nowhere. You have to take shelter somewhere. So just repeating for purposes of emphasizing something that was said earlier, there's this voice inside of each one of us as devotees that says, I want an unobstructed relationship with Krishna. I want that. There's so many other things going on, but that's really me. And try to operate from that position. Try to chant from that position. Try to serve from that position. Try to engage in your relationships with others from that position. Pray to Krishna from that position. Strengthen that voice that says, and Krishna will reciprocate. And if the reciprocation, that's where Mahaprabhu's prayer comes. You can do with me whatever you like. Because I'm your servant. You can embrace me. You can neglect me. You can trample me. You can do with me whatever you like. There's only one thing. My relationship, unobstructed relationship with you. That's what I want. That's what I want. And then Krishna will ask, are you sure that's what you want? Are you sure that's what you want? I listened to a lecture like, I don't know, a dozen times, maybe 15 times, where Prabhupada was covering this. Krishna will examine. Are you sure that's what you want? What about a little sense gratification? Maybe you want a little sense. So the sincere devotee says, no, I don't want a little sense gratification. I just want my relationship with you. Well, what if there's a little obstacle to get that relationship? Send whatever obstacle you want. I just want that relationship with you. And Krishna will examine what you really want. What do you really want? And if the answer is consistent, I just want my relationship, I just want to serve you. Then Prabhupada said, then Krishna gives himself to you and says, I am like this. He'll speak to you. He'll embrace you. He'll directly engage with you. But what do we really want?
My question is about taking instructions to life and so on. Like when we are in the lecture, it feels like yes, we should do it, but after like it kind of fades away. My question is like, is it that fading away, is it because of our determination or is it our anandas or?
Well, they're not so totally separate. Our determination is weak, but our determination is weakened by false shelters or our own impurities, or hanging on to the idea of, let me be the enjoyer.
But heart says yes, I want it. Then is it that mind is taking control? Like,
yeah, sure. Give it half a chance and it takes control. It's used to taking control. It doesn't want to let go of taking control. And we're so accustomed to that that, you know, we empower the mind. We invest power by paying attention to the mind. Where you pay attention, where your attention goes, you empower that something. So, one of the ways of controlling the mind is you neglect the mind. You've heard this before. My dear mind. It's like Manashiksha. Raghunath Das Goswami has prayers where he's instructing the mind. My dear mind. More or less. Please sit down. You've been in charge for how many lifetimes now? Promising all kinds of things and it's never really happened the way that you promised it. And enough is enough. This one lifetime, Krishna is in charge. I'm just going to put Krishna in charge and I'm sorry, my dear mind, you just sit down. Neglect. Whatever Krishna says, that's going to rule, not you. You can scream, you can yell, you can carry on, fuss and kick and make a commotion. You're not in charge. Krishna's in charge. This one lifetime, Krishna's in charge. That's a statement, then follow through. There's requires some determination. And the mind will want to, at this lightest opportunity, knock that all out of place and put the mind back in the driver's seat.
That's what exactly is happening.
Yeah. Well, it's same as she was saying. Dhammara Priya. What do you do? Whoops, I was inattentive. Now I'm going to be attentive again. My dear mind. Sit down. Maybe not exactly like you do with your son, but certainly like you do with your mind. Because it's not like another spirit soul with another will. It's actually just a material energy that's reciprocating with your relationship with Krishna. And ultimately, if your relationship with Krishna is in the prominent position, the mind will be your best friend. It will cooperate. As long as it's very clear that your relationship with Krishna is the primary principal thing, and you mean it. And you stay with it, because you mean it, therefore you stay with it. You continue to pay attention to that relationship with Krishna. The mind can then become your best friend. The mind will propose various ways to think of Krishna. Engage in service and favorably. Beware, because the next moment the mind will jump over and start to do its old thing again. But make sure that, so it's the commitment to the relationship with Krishna. And that via media for that is the relationship with the spiritual master, because as our discussion this morning. And that's just Krishna's system. Okay. Okay, back there, then over here.
Maharaj, I have two questions. The first one was asked by my son, my younger was finally to me.
It was asked?
By my son.
By your son?
Yeah. He asked me, Mama, do you love me? I said, yes. So, are you attached to me? I said, yes, I am attached to you. And he said, then, what attachment is that? Why?
Sure. Well, I would say with a child, keep asking, then you start asking him questions. Like when you say, it's not good to be attached, what do you mean? And it may very well be that the way that he means it is right. And the way that, as a loving Krishna conscious parent, attachment to the well-being of the soul as the mother and the servant of that soul in that particular relationship, as mother of the body, but you know, in that relationship, the parent, you're attached to Krishna's service, not attached to the body. But you know, rather than just tell, ask. Explore with your son, what is it that you mean by that? This is very nice, very interesting. What do you mean? I shouldn't be attached. See how well he's understood. But, you know, the conclusion is, certainly the conclusion is, parenthood means that you don't care about your kids. You know, just drill it in your head, don't care about your kids. That's not the message. And that's probably not what he means. But find out what he means by asking questions. You can often instruct as well by asking questions as you can by saying or telling. Does that help? I think so. Well, maybe Krishna is giving you a lesson through your son. Maybe it's Krishna speaking through your son. Because if you're overbearingly attached, you're not going to be, you'll suffocate the child. So, attachment should be in terms of service to Krishna. And there's a spirit, you know, on the spiritual platform. And if the attachment is the other kind, then your son is right. It's not become zero or become impersonal. And that way be unattached. But material attachment is not going to help spiritual growth. It's not going to help you or your dependent. be attached to Krishna's service, and Krishna's given you some service. You invited the service, Krishna gave you the service, and carry out the service. Be attached to your service, pleasing Krishna. And how to best please Krishna? Not by being materially attached. Then you'll be blinded. What's your best interest, his best interest, and the best way to carry out that service? But, you know, maybe Krishna's going to speak some other things through your son. Ask him. Dancing?
Dark in color. Color of Krishna.
Dark in color.
Why are they not dark in color?
Like Shyam Sundari is supposed to be black
in color. Krishna can appear however he wants to appear. I'm trying to recall what Prabhupada answered in relation to that same question, or in response to the same question. I think he said the same thing. What's the spiritual moisture? Hearing. Spiritual sound vibration. It's like a seed is very hard, but you put the seed in moisture and it softens. So the downpour of moisture is the hearing process. And one can say, well, I'm hearing, but my heart is hard. Keep hearing. Keep adding moisture in the hard shell that's surrounding the life inside the seed will soften. Hearing. And hear qualitatively as far as you can. What does that mean? With attention. And as we were discussing a little earlier, hear that the sound vibration is meant for me. Like, you know, that person inside the hard heart. The real me. It's meant for me. It's meant, like, you know, to release me from this hard-hearted condition and the material circumstances altogether. That's what it's meant for. That will increase gratitude. But hear in that way, qualitatively and quantitatively. Immerse yourself in hearing as far as circumstance permits. Invest in the relationships with those from whom you're accustomed to hearing. Strengthen those relationships. One devotee, during the course of the time that I've been here, was sharing that they're chanting. It's very mechanical, and it's painful to them that their chanting is mechanical. So, while continuing to try, Krishna will reciprocate with efforts to get on the other side of mechanical chanting, but a very nice additional effort has strengthened the relationships with those who you trust and value their association. Strengthen those relationships, and then it will also help soften the heart, move to personal chanting from mechanical. You know, get into the devotional energy the devotional atmosphere through through association, through the loving relationships with wonderful devotees. That's why we have gatherings like this. It's moistened. It's often. Can I request to speak slowly and clearly? Because I couldn't hear what you said.
I heard a word that spiritual master is a manifestation of Krishna. And I also earlier heard that the super soul indicates to the spiritual master whatever he requires to know to guide the disciples. So my understanding is that I should continue to be myself and my service. And if there are genuine concerns in my life, genuine, they will be automatically addressed and they will not be explicitly stated. But sometimes the faith gets disturbed in the sense that what's going on, there's no response coming to this issue. So,
you should express. The short response, express. It's just like offering prayer. Krishna knows, so I don't need to pray. But it's a relationship. So you pray. You're sharing your heart with Krishna. And so part of the method by which what a spiritual master needs to guide the disciple may come from such a means as you express. That's maybe one of those ways by which Super Soul makes it. He'll prompt you from within. You should speak this. Just disclose your heart. Not even necessarily, you know, I gotta have an immediate solution or I'm gonna burst, but just relationship. Well, on the one hand, but on the other hand. On the one hand, wishing to not be a botheration is good. That means you filter out things that may not be so critical. And perhaps Krishna will address them because they're not so critical. But on the other hand, persons who are genuinely loving individuals by nature, to have a loving exchange with a person who they have a loving relationship with is not a botheration. It's a joyful exchange of a loving relationship. Mothers like being mothers. And those who are in that relationship with one who is like a mother, you know, that relationship isn't a botheration. It's a loving relationship. So what's important is that you grow up and stop, you know, just being a dependent, whining baby and become an adult, but then a mature, loving mother can continue to guide because she's very mature and very wise and continue to guide you through so many stages, emotional, social, spiritual, intellectual. It's not a botheration, it's a loving relationship. Way in the back, Krishna Priya.
Guru Maharaj, we heard how being able to take the instructions of one's life and soul.
Even if we do what?
In order to take the instructions of one's life and soul, then we need to be, or we heard from the examples where the Krishna Prabhupada prepared himself in order to, or there's a preparatory time to do that. So my question is, we want to do that phase, and then that is agents, the time, where we are working on ourselves, where we are working on ourselves. So I often find myself disconnected from
you're caught up in the preparing and you lose track of the service that you're preparing for?
No, sometimes I feel that there is so much to work on the current stage that I find that a lot of disconnect. Say, I'm like instruction or even like getting there, sometimes I feel I cannot do it because of the current phase being agents. So how do I make sure that the connection is there?
I didn't get it. Did anybody else get it? Her husband understands her. So.
For what's for that? I think she is trying to ask, like she's seen the disconnect between being self-honest and reaching that standard, very high standard of surrender, or, you know, like you talked about non-deceptive surrender. So she's seeing a disconnect because on the one hand she wants to be self-honest.
Wants to be straightforward.
Self-honest with her.
Self-honest.
Where she is on the trajectory.
That's fine.
But on the other hand, there is this standard which she's not able to...
That's okay. I the whole class yesterday evening was to address that question. But she's got her hand up like it's... That wasn't exactly what I was asking. It's close. But...
My question is more focused on... say the specific instruction when I'm trying to prepare myself.
When you're trying to... You got a specific instruction. You're trying to prepare yourself to fulfill that specific instruction.
Yeah, the preparatory time, when the time itself is intense, there is hardly any remembrance of...
Remembrance. Okay, and how do I keep the connection going while I'm doing the preparing?
Yes.
Did you... I'll hand him the microphone. Did you hear the answer I gave to Vivek here in the front? He was asking about a 7-year problem and how to resolve it. Did you hear the answer that I gave? Huh? You weren't here. Well, that was the answer I would give you. I would say it shorter. You can listen to the recording and we can discuss when we have our scheduled discussion. Step one, ground yourself. Spiritual reality. Who am I? And stay with that question until it's like as clear as it seems it's going to get. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not these circumstances. I'm operating within those circumstances, but that's not my identity. This is my identity. From that position, then you prepare yourself and periodically hit the refresh button, because as you're preparing yourself, you're closer to being prepared and closer to being prepared, and stay connected from the ground reality, the spiritual conception of who you are. And that includes your relationship with Krishna and your relationship with those who are directing you to Krishna, those who are connecting you with Krishna, and you'll stay connected. Because each step, you're hitting the refresh button, you're being trying to be very clear of why you're doing what you're doing. The purpose for which you're doing, the purpose for which life exists, including the microcosm of this particular thing that you're preparing for, a direct instruction. Here's a visual. Sarv and Jai Subhadra were there, where we were at that place. Where's Jai Subhadra? That place we went that summer for the patron leader weekend. Did you go there? That place where it was like right on the Canada border. Look across and there's Vancouver. It looked like a big mountain in the middle of the ocean. It was an island, Vancouver Island. So remember that long curving piece of land, and at the end was a lighthouse? Do you remember that? You don't remember that part. Okay. It's not a nice name. It's called a spit. S-P-I-T. And it's like a peninsula, a long, narrow, like several mile long, just piece of land. And it's got a little mound, and you go off the mound and you're in the water. You know, like maybe two people abreast can travel, and that's it. And it goes this long, 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 long. And at the end, there's a lighthouse. So Bhakti Marg Swami was with us. You know, he likes to walk. He not only likes to walk, he has to walk. Miles a day he has to walk. So he wanted to go the whole length of that spit. So I was imagining, because we looked out at it at night, they went during the day, but if you know, it looks like it's just ocean. But you just follow that light, and keep following the light in the darkness, and follow the light, and follow the light, and follow the light, and follow the light, and you get there. So, what's the goal? It's get to that light. So similarly, when you have an instruction and you're preparing yourself to fulfill the instruction, what's the goal? It's receiving Krishna and the mercy of Krishna. That's the purpose of the instruction. And maybe, you know, rise early in the morning and chant your rounds. Maybe that's the instruction. Or something else, or something else. But what's behind it is to receive Krishna's mercy, to bring you closer to Krishna. That's the purpose. Stay fixed on that light, the goal. And check in regularly, because you might end up in the ocean instead of on that piece of land. Be attentive to the steps you're taking, but keep track of the goal, where you're going. Gopina.
I really appreciate all the lectures that you gave.
questions, and you gave very wonderful examples of Purish and Goshti Guru. What is the book or what is the consequence of a person or a disciple who was not able to follow or who could not follow a specific instruction by the Guru?
What's the position?
Yeah.
And what's the hope? The hope is that Krishna has accepted whatever degree or percentage of sincerity one has made some sincere effort. And the answer is Krishna will accept. And the position is that one is still covered. And that means that person, devotee, that's still covered needs to take some more steps towards that lighthouse that's at the end of that spit, the end of that piece of land. Long, narrow. But they got there. And they went up to the top of the lighthouse and they met the guy that, you know, works for the whatever department he works for. Parks department or navigation department or whatever it is. And he was a nice guy and they, you know, he hadn't met Hare Krishna people and he started chanting Hare Krishna and it was, and then they walked all the way back. But you know, they got there. Because they just kept taking more steps. That's the position and that's the hope. Krishna accepts whatever our, however weak our effort may be, our capacity may be, we're feeble, but according to our capacity, we make that offering and Krishna accepts it. Even we're, you know, not very good at it. And Krishna will then preserve what we have and carry what we lack. We have our hope is faith in Krishna's words. Our hope is that Krishna's, our confidence is that Krishna's loving. And Krishna's loving. Yes.
Looking for certain reciprocation from certain persons.
Tendency of expecting reciprocation from certain persons.
And once I was told, always look to your relationship with Krishna, that relationship will never disappoint you.
Yes.
So
I've heard that before too.
So how do I go deeper into that and just feel satisfied with relationships with Guru and Krishna?
Go deeper into that.
How do we go deeper into that instruction in particular? And feel satisfied. Well, here's one way. Are you a perfect person? Maharaj. But granted that you acknowledge you're not a perfect person, you try to do some service for the deities and for the devotees. Imperfectly, but you try to do. Now, how does Krishna regard that? Gopinath's question was addressing that. Krishna accepts that the sincerity with which you offer, however imperfect, and the devotees. How would you like the devotees to accept that service which you do, however imperfectly rendered? You'd like them to, I assume, you would like them to recognize, I have my limitations, but I also have some sincerity, and please accept that sincerity. And I'm, by your blessings, my capacity may increase. Krishna may smile on me, and with your blessings and my capacity, will improve. I'll become better at my service. However, that's up to Krishna. But it's all part of Krishna's network of loving relationships in which we are part, and we have our part to play. It's both in serving the Vaishnavas and serving Krishna, in your case in particular, serving the deities directly. And how we interact with the others who are part of Krishna's network of loving relationships. We should regard others that may be disappointing to us, they're not matching our expectation, but like me, they're trying. And maybe they could try more, like I could try more, but they're trying. And Krishna is smiling because they're trying, as Krishna is smiling because you're trying. So what can I do with in my relationship with this other Prabhu or Mataji so that their efforts can become even more successful rather than having an expectation that isn't met? Let me be part of that loving network of relationships that Krishna has and be a servant to that. And I adopt that mood. I become happy. I've got some service to do. However imperfectly I'm rendering it, I have some service to do to serve the Vaishnavas that's pleasing to Krishna. One of the passages from that purport that I read this morning, it's going to stay with me for a long time. This one sentence says, the duty of the spiritual master is to train his disciples in a service mood. Having previously said that all souls have, by constitution, their servants, but we've lost the service mood, we've got another one. Like, you know, what makes me happy, what doesn't make me happy mood. The enjoyer mood, instead of the servant mood. The servant mood is, service makes me happy. So I'm a servant, and here's a circumstance. Someone sincere trying to serve. They're not meeting that standard that I know is the standard, as I'm not also. How can I be of service to that person? And part of the service to that person is just having the service mood towards that person. That's the good beginning. Help. See, I told you she's a good one. Good devotee, too. Okay, we're going to do this thing now.